All right, we're talking about God's power to change us. And that's an important topic. It's not the topic we're supposed to be on this year. God said this was the miraculous year. But God spoke and he said to prepare people for a miracle move in their lives, God had to first be allowed by us to do something miraculous inside of us. Because I'll be honest with you, there's not one of us here that does not want God to do something out here for us. And many of us are so desperate for that. But we limit God by what we allow the Lord to do in here. I either let God or hinder God. And the Holy Spirit knows what all of our problems are, see. Man, you may can hide them from somebody else, but you can't hide them from the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit knows what's standing in all of our ways from moving in that miracle purpose that God's called us to do and live out an abundant life. And so the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes it's because I won't come to the depth of commitment God wants me to. Sometimes I won't dedicate certain things in my life to the Lord. Sometimes I'm just unwilling to trust God and believe. I mean, but the Holy Spirit knows what those hindrances are. And so as we allow the Holy Spirit, then God moves in here. And he knows how to get every obstacle out of the way, so he can move freely in our lives. And so that's what he does. And that's what we're giving the first part of this year for. But the Lord gave us the promise that we would allow him to move inwardly in us, removing the obstacles that have tried to stop him for so long in our life, that he then would come in the latter part of the year and God would make it miraculous. Whatever it is that you're believing for. Some of you are believing God for a real turnaround in your family. Some of you are believing God for a real turnaround with your children. Some of you are believing God for the Lord to overcome fears and torments that torment your own life. Others are believing for God to give you an opportunity to move up financially in your life. You want to be a full provider and you haven't been able to do that. But whatever it is, and no matter how varied it is, God has the answer for all of it. Go ahead and clap. He deserves it. Oh, God has the answer for all of it. And so it's just vitally important that any hindrances that I may be allowing, some I know, some I don't know, but that's why the problem exists. The problem exists because that problem that I'm facing, if I handle it right, it will move me into the next level of faith of trusting God, which many, many times is the very thing that it takes to bring to pass what I'm really believing for in my life. So it's just really important that we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, in our lives, inside of us, and allow him to bring us over those obstacles. So we're talking about God's power to change me. So that's why, and God has that power. Now, we're talking about it from two different ways, real background a little bit. God wants to change the way I think. It's vitally important that God change the way I think. Because the way I think has produced the life that I have now. So if I'm going to allow the Lord to do something more beautiful, it all starts with right here. It all starts with God helping me to change the way I think. The amazing thing about it is I watch you like you watch me. And I see, I can see things in your life just like you can see things in my life. But a lot of times somebody will come up and, ma'am, they'll say, Jerry, I'm just believing God. And we will pray. And man, you can sense the presence of the Lord. And then before they leave, it's like in another area of their life, they have no faith at all. It's like it's zilt. You know, it just like tilts the scale. But that's what we all are. We all have those blind spots. We all have those areas of our life that's hindering other areas. And so what we want the Holy Spirit to do is to help us to remove those deceived areas or those blind spots that each one of us have. Now, you may think that you're God's gift to knowledge, but I want to know you're not. You can ask your wife. She'll tell you you're not. But each one of us have those blind spots that must be dealt with. And I'll be honest with you, we don't have the power to do it. If we could fix it, we would fix it. If I could fix Elaine, I would have already fixed her. And I'm certain she feels the same about me. But the truth of the matter is, we're powerless of that. We have done the best any of us could do with where we came from. But the move is God. God empowers us to change. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is drawing from that source and that strength of power. But not only is God changing the way I think, because see what the truth of the matter is, I'm controlled by what I think. God doesn't want it that way. I'm limited in my life by what I think and controlled by that way. That's the way you think about certain things. That's why you think about people. That's why you can't get over them. You can't get over it. You can't come past it. You can't, because the enemy's controlling your life by the process of thinking. But not only is he controlling it by the process of thinking, he's also controlling it by the way I feel. God wants to change my feelings. Now, I've walked with people for a wonderful season of years. And during that season, people seemingly can't get above their feelings. Because what we feel, we tend to believe is truth. And usually it's not. I'm here to tell you, you can't trust your feelings. Now, God is going to renovate your feelings, refurbish your feelings. But that's why I just don't feel like God is still with me. I don't feel like God's forgiven me. How many times? I still wrestle with that feeling right there. See, I know that when I fail the Lord, I can simply just say, Lord, I'm sorry. And then immediately it's gone. But I noticed myself just the other day allowing the lousy devil through my feelings to deceive me. Now, if you're controlled by, none of us want to admit that. But the truth of the matter, we are. Those feelings control us. They can tell us who's mad at us, who's not mad at us. They can tell, well, you don't know just how much your feelings control. Then you just remember how much joy you're able to have when you're having a hard day. That's how much your feelings control you. But our feelings are deceivers. Truth of the matter, our feelings come out of wrong, toxic thinking. Most of us developed our feelings by thoughts that were not from God at all. And so we learn to trust that gut, and that gut growled every time that somebody opposed it. I'm just here to tell you, you can't be controlled by your feelings. God wants to help overcome that. He doesn't want your feelings to control you, and he doesn't want your thoughts to control you. God has given us a new source. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you've prayed a prayer, something like this somewhere, you said, Jesus, I give you my life. Lord, I want to be saved somewhere. And Jesus come into your life, you've got a brand new source of power that's in your life. Now, you may have never learned how to turn that right key on. You may have never learned how to do that, but you can. You're not too old to learn. To learn how to literally turn on the new source that God put in your life. I mean, you may have to get a few cobwebs off of it. Because a lot of us, we've had it sitting there, this power source of God, been sitting in our life a long time. And we just really didn't, we failed to to know how or to use it, or because our feelings deceived us, our old thoughts were against it. I want to tell you the two things that God's going to do with bringing the miraculous in your life. God's going to contest your feelings. He's going to contest what you feel as safe. And He's going to contest your thoughts. You can be for sure if God's going to do something in your life, He's going to contest your feelings and He's going to contest your thoughts. And literally, God's going to use whatever we're facing at this time to bring me to a place to where I'm no longer controlled by my thoughts and I'm not controlled by my feelings. But there's a new sheriff in town and his name is Jesus, and that we have a new control factor, a new resource of truth. And the resource of truth, somebody hold up the resource of truth. Now we have all here, we've made the decision that this is the valid part of life. That's the word. That is the test for everything else that we feel or we think. The test is the word. Amen. Literally, if I could change my thinking, I can change my life. And God's going to help me to do that. Amen. On the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 2 it says, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God saved us to transform us. Oh, some of you just want to get saved, get your ticket punched to heaven. And you just want to buy some fire insurance. But God's not in the business of just selling fire insurance. God's in the business of radical change. Because your change in this life is of vital importance, because it will prove to everybody else in this world that God still lives and God still cares about people. Amen. So it's just a vital importance. So God's in the business of radical changing us, transforming us. Now, we've got to be willing to get rid of toxic thinking. Now, if I was to ask anybody this morning, had me a little bottle of arsenic here, said, who wants to taste a bit? I wouldn't have many takers. Because we would know that it would immediately poison us and had the possibility of killing us. Then all the time, we accept feelings under that same light. When the Bible says these are toxic, these will destroy you. These will keep me from working in your life. This will stop me from being able to be productive in your life. And we keep drinking this stuff. I went to a family reunion yesterday. And my brother, he walked up and he said, do you dye your hair? I said, brother, I found out it's more ways than one to be in the bottle. I'm telling you, don't take it because the devil offers it to you. And just because it's easy and it can go uncontested, you're going to have to contest some things, going to have to resist some things, going to have to fight some things, going to have to pull down some things if you're going to win in this life. But that's where God has given us this great power source. Now, see, some of us, what we do, we just take our thoughts from the snake. Now, you don't even contest it. Man, the devil lied to you and you believed it. And you just take his thoughts right into you. Even though you know that lion snake has a bite and poison associated with it. We just say, here, bite me, bite me. You know, I went home the other day. Lang usually has a moccasin or two for me to kill. We live in an area, a creek behind us, and so that's why we have 7 dogs and I don't got how many cats. Try to keep those things at bay. I tell you what, I've went home before. I went home to church one time and there was I'm glad Melissa's not in here today. Melissa's my adopted daughter. She stayed with us and she can't stand me, so I've never told her this story. I came home one day and Lane said, there is a snake in the cabinet. It was. It was this big moxen. It was probably that big around. Had his head stuck, extended right out of the cabinet. So I ran to get my lopers. You know, I go cut that head off that thing. I'll be honest with you. You that's dealt with big moxens, you know how tough they are. Oh, I had some mighty dull lopers. I grabbed that thing right back from the head, and I was just going, I could not get it. I could not get it to cut it. That thing, you know. Just the way your thoughts do. Just same way your thoughts do in your life. Somebody said, tell us the rest of the story. It didn't get better. I said, Elaine, come here. Help, save me, honey. You might help me. You could be the snake killer. No, I didn't say that, all that. But she literally come, and she took a hold of the lopers. I took a knife with a grated blade on it. I literally sat there and sawed that snake head off of that thing. Some of you need to saw the lousy head of that snake off of your life. You need to do that. It's not easy, and it may be fearful, but you can have the power to do it. Can you say amen? Because the Bible says, submit myself to God, and I can resist that devil. You can resist those thoughts that's trying to torment your life. Amen. Oh, I love what it says in Job, don't you? It says, submit to God. It says, and you will have peace. Isn't that a beautiful verse? Submit to God. Submit to God. Resist that devil. Resist those thoughts. Those thoughts have tormented your life. Those thoughts have released fears into your life that's tormented your very existence. But not only do we allow thoughts from the snake, we have this whole complexity of thoughts from the world. Now, I'm fixing to be politically incorrect here. And I'm going to tell you. I say, if you don't think the world is sick, you just listen at the presidential candidates. I don't care. I have adapted the Bible as my basis of truth. I have developed. That's truth. And what has been said on both sides, literally, you've just got to follow the Holy Spirit to choose the less of two evils. I'm being honest with you. It's the less of two evils. Because you cannot say what both of them are saying and it not be evil. The Bible is the basis of truth. Now, you may want to bring your little Republican flag or your little Democrat flag, and we'll just rejoice with you. But I'm going to tell you what. When the president's office has been lowered to the place that it is, to literally people don't care what they say or what they do, that's evil. Do you hear what I'm telling you? The world, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. You've got to understand what the world is trying to influence you in your thinking. You've got to come to some decisions on that. You cannot accept it just because the world. Let's just see what God says about the world talking to you. It says, Satan, who is the God of where? What does it say on that verse up there? Is that verse working with me? Hey, this thing is doing it again. Stephen, come here and help me. You don't know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. You can't control me up there. Lane's been trying for 42 years to control me, and she hasn't done it yet. It's just real important that Satan, who is the God of where? He's the God of this world. Now, you can say what you want to, but if the devil that's in the system of the world. Now, we're in this world, and we're here to try to help this world. And I'm not telling you to go out somewhere and dig you a hole and get you 50 guns and stand against the world. That's not what I'm telling you. But I tell you what, God's called us to be a light in this world. Amen. I don't care who you vote for as long as you vote for who the Holy Spirit tells you. I stirred up some little political demons here when I was talking. Yeah. Oh, I just like to do that. to help you think along with God. To help you understand what's evil and what's not evil. Because if you can't understand what's evil, you'll never be able to pull evil out of your own life. All right, it says submit to God, resist the devil, submit to God, thoughts of the world. Am I staying with me? No, this thing's still not working with me. Okay, whoever's doing the things up there. All right, let's go. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Let's see what God thinks about it. It said you used to live in sin. Just like the rest of the world. That's the way I used to be controlled. I used to be controlled in my life just like the rest of the world. The world's influence. What the world said was right, we would accept as right. But see, the Bible says that's the way I used to live. Obeying the who? Who's it say? Obeying the devil. That's what the Bible says. Your basis of truth says that. It says you used to live in accordance with the world, obeying the world's. And it was obeying the devil all the time. Amen? The commander and powers of the unseen world were influencing the world and its system. All right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, all of us to live that way, we had to be following wrong desires. When I lived under the dictates of what the world says was politically correct, I don't care what tag they hang on that bathroom. I still believe that God created us right in the beginning. Amen. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Now you can say, you can allow influence of the world to influence you all you want to. But you're going to have to determine a basis of truth in your life. There is no world system that is right. Amen. Now, I appreciate the marvelous nation that we live in. I appreciate all our violent soldiers that's given their lives to keep us free. Amen. Amen. But at the same time, I know there is no political system that can be right. I heard one of the smartest lawyers I ever heard. One time I was in his courtroom and it was over a murder case. And that lawyer walked in. He was a famous lawyer. And he walked to there and this is what he said. He said, I wish I could tell you that this is a court of justice. But this is not a court of justice. This is a court of law. Because there's only one that can give justice. You hear what I'm telling you? I mean, you've got to know in this world system, there is none that is right. They're influenced by right, and that's what we want. We want to keep the influences as right as we can. But we got to know that the world system is run by the devil. Now, there's some that are more right than others and less right than others. There's some that's more influenced by God than less influenced by God. But I'm here to tell you, God has a sense of justice that no government will ever be able to understand. I'm an alien. I don't really belong here, honey. I've got a citizenship in another place, and that place is heaven. And God is allowing us to live here, to influence here, to try to bring the light of Jesus here. So you can join anybody's bandwagon all you want to, but I'm going to tell you what, just make sure you still keep beating yours for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, in the early service, I only said a line of all this statement. Praise God. Well, all right, 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's not of God. It's not of the Father. You got to know that. That's why God's called us to pray for intervention in every area. God's called us to pray and intercede for intervention, but not only in this nation. Because, see, the worst culprit is this. Not only are there thoughts that are of the devil, of the snake, And not only is there thoughts of the world that's trying to influence us, but the worst culprit is all. It's where my own deceptions is. And I began to listen to me. See, the Bible tells me I can't trust me, but I can trust God. That's why the basis of truth is not what I feel. And it's not what I think. The basis of truth is what the Word of God declares. Amen? Can't trust me. Some of you got mad because I said I couldn't trust a candidate. Well, I tell you what, there's only one worse than I know than Donald and Hillary, and that's Jerry. Don't trust him. Because there's only one that we can trust. There's only one that has the basis of truth, and that's God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. All right, what does the Bible say? All right, I can't trust myself what it says. For I say, walk in the Spirit. So if I walk in Jerry, if I walk in my pride, man, if I exalt all of what I feel to be right and all of what I feel to be wrong, if I make that my basis of life, the Bible says I can't do that. Walk in the Spirit. Walk by allowing the Spirit of God to direct and control me. Then I will not be subject even unto myself. If I will allow God to have a greater decision in my life than what I do myself, then God is my source. Amen. All right, Galatians 17 says, what is it? The sinful nature wants to do what's evil. That's in us. That's why we can't go by what I feel. Well, I just go by the way I feel it. Honey, you can't. It will always keep God from moving in your life. The basis of the source of your life is not what you feel. And it's certainly not what you think. The source of life is God's Word. It's God's truth. To change, to bring about what I feel. And the Bible says, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Notice I said, what I want is the opposite of what God wants. Then it says, and the Spirit gives us desire. Then this, the Spirit of God, and the Bible says in the next verse, these two are fighting each other. There's a wrestle going on in me. The wrestle is God, by His Holy Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit is trying to get me to move up, to come out of, to come beyond, to make a step up. My flesh wants to be afraid of everything, what's not comfortable, what doesn't feel right, what doesn't seem right, and try to resist God from moving in my life. But when I come to a time to determine... I want what God wants more. Yeah. Amen. All right, the next verse in Romans 8, which Ezra said, and because you belong to Him. Now, I want you to notice when the Bible begins to use, talking about our change, when it begins to use the word, the Holy Spirit, it begins to use a word associated with it, power. The problem is we have such a lack of power in ourselves. There's no political system in this world that can give me that power. And I can't give that power to myself. But God says, if I will allow the Holy Spirit to work in my life, He is the source of power. So in everything that I go through, God is helping me to understand. Can't trust yourself. You can trust me. You can't trust what you feel. You can trust me. You can't trust what you think. You can trust me. Amen? So it says, they have the power of the life-giving Spirit. So God not only comes in me and leading me and helping me, revealing some truth into me to pull down those lies, but God said, I'll give you the power, Jerry, to do it. I said, oh, God, that's what I need. I need the power because, man, I'm thinking things that are not right. And like I said, if you don't think that, if you don't think some of your thoughts are controlled by the enemy, just begin to tell me your dream life. Almost immediately, we can determine that wrestle. Somebody comes and says, whoa, I know devil gave me that dream. Somebody else says, yeah, and I know the Holy Spirit gave me this dream. Because see, that war is going on in us all the time. But the wonderful thing about it is God allows me to choose who wins. Hallelujah. God allows me to choose who's going to be the winner of this. And next verse says, those who are dominated. Then we're talking about power of the Holy Spirit. Then there's going to be a domination. I'm going to be dominated by something. Oh, the very person pulls their shirt about and says, I'm my own man. Yeah. You are. That little 4'2" lady walking beside you probably got all the control. See, every one of us are dominated by something. But what we have an opportunity that God gives us, we have the right to choose. I can either be dominated by my fears, or I can be dominated by God's love for me. I can be dominated by the lies that I believe that cause those feelings in my life, or I can be dominated by God as His being the truth of my life. I make that decision over me. You make that decision over you. Those who are not dominated by their sinful nature, and the way you choose that is what you decide to think. It's all in the choices of what you decide to think on. A person that's going to be dominated by the evil lust or whatever it is inside them, what they do, they just choose to think on that. But if I'm going to be dominated by God, I'm going to have to choose to think on what God wants me to think on. Amen? So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. So if I let it control, now we use the word control. Dominate, control. But I thought I was my own man. Yeah. And you didn't realize that those lies that were placed into your life, you thought that was you too, didn't you? You thought you were coming up with all those schemes of evil. And all those schemes. Not realizing that all the time that we were puppets on His string. And the enemy was behind all of that working against our life. But letting the Spirit. Everybody say, I'll use that word let. Right, now see, God says, Jerry, you're in control. I get to choose what I let control me. I'm going to be somebody's slave. I'm here to tell you. I'm nobody's slave. Yes, you are. I'm going to be somebody's slave. I'm either going to be the devil's slave, or I'm going to be God's slave. But you know what God does to His slaves? He sets us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know what the devil does to His slaves? He puts them into destroyed lives, addictions they can't break, powers of death that are working against them, humiliation. He brings all of that. But if I will let God, if I will determine, I'm going to let Your Word control me. It's going to be my basis of fact. It's going to be my basis of feeling. When I determine that, God sets me free. And the wonderful thing about God's freedom, God knew. God created me in the very beginning. God knew where I would be the happiest and the way I would be the happiest. Amen? Praise God. Well, the next verse says, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what you're simple. I have no obligation there. God has freed me through the power of His Holy Spirit. If you have prayed a sinner's prayer anywhere, in your life, there is resident the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, you may have called it a quiver in your liver. Or some of you may have never even tapped into it. But if you've accepted Jesus into your life, in which I take for granted that we have as believers gathered here today, then the Lord has placed His power inside you. But so we have power. Everybody say we have power now. We have power now. It's God's power. It's not my power, so I can't take credit for it. But now I have God's power in me. And I love what that next verse says. But if. If I let the devil control me, if I let the snake control me, if I let the world's influence control me, but if I allow the power of the Spirit to flow in me, then God is able to bring me into life. Amen? And we all, they're all Southerners that wrote the Bible. You know that. You can tell that. And we all. You don't say we all up north. And we all, with unveiled face, we behold as in the glory the Lord. We're being transformed. We're being changed. If I've made the decision, I'm not going to be controlled by the snake. I'm not going to be controlled by the world. I'm not going to be controlled by me. I'm going to let myself be controlled by God. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible calls it walking in the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, 22. But when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, He will produce. Now, what I'm supposed to be talking to you today about is how to walk in the love of Christ. Because we've got to know the greatest example that every one of us have, and the greatest blessing we can bring into any of our relationships is our ability to love others. I'm going to tell you what, love will destroy everything that the devil tries to put against you. Love has the power to change any home into a good home. Love has the power to change any situation. In fact, the Word of God says like this, love never fails. But because, see, we've developed our thought a lot. First question I want to ask you is, what is love? And, you know, we can develop it from a 10-cent, that's what they call them. They're $15.99 now. 10-cent novel of love that you pick up at the store. That's some people's view of love. Some people's view of love goes a little bit further than that and go to a 2-hour movie that's made in Hollywood where you can marry 5 and divorce 5 all in the same 2-hour period. I'm going to tell you what, that's not God's form of love. God's form of love. And you see, love is a feeling. It's a sense. But it's not controlled by your feelings. In fact, the Bible says that there's various forms of love, but God gives us the example of what He is specific at what kind of love God tells us that will bring radical change in us and through us. And He calls it agape love. Now, it has nothing to do with quivers and livers. It has nothing to do for that loving feeling. It has nothing to do with that. Or, what does love have to do with it? None of that. See, it has nothing to do with those things. The type of love that God's talking about, it comes forth as a decision as you let God love you and you let God's love flow through you. And it says that the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit controls me, that's what this verse says. When I allow the Holy Spirit to control me, God will produce through me His love. Amen? God changed my life. Now, how important is love? And I've got just about 9 minutes here, then I got to close. So, how important is this? It says in Acts chapter 2, it says, let your hearts be changed. Notice the word let. We all think God does that stuff, don't we? And we don't realize that I either let God, I let me, or let the devil, or let the world. But here the scripture says, you can let God change your heart. I can let him do that. I can't change me. But I can let God do that. And John, just to show you how important it is, in John chapter 13 it says, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Now, you that feel like love is a feeling, God's given you a command to have a feeling then. But you that realize, I went to a wedding here several years ago. It was one of those California weddings. In fact, it was in California. I could not believe it. Beautiful outside setting. The minister, if you can call it a minister, was there. And they said words like this. Will you stay attached as long as you feel love? Whoa. It didn't take long for that loving feeling to go. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Because love is the willingness to allow God to love me and allow that same kind of love to flow through me. Amen? It says, Jesus said, love each other. In fact, the Lord said it like this. If you don't think that's important, it's the greatest sign that you have Jesus in your life. The way you love other people is the greatest sign to all the world. The Bible said during the last days that love of many will wax cold. Is there any reason now that people across this world are doubting God? Doubting the existence of God? Because the very thing that God, the greatest sign in all the world that God's given to us to prove that he is here. And we develop so much of those world feelings and we will love till we can't love anymore. We say, I can't love it anymore. I can't go beyond that. And only at that line does it become God's power. See, anything before that line is my power. We fail to realize, and I'm going to close with this, by giving you the most important words I feel like I could share with you. And that is how to receive anything from God. The way we think we receive from God is that we simply ask the Lord and then we look and see if it's there. Lord, I got a message the other night, honey. Boy, did it change my world. It came through in the middle of the night from a good friend. You know what it said? Hey, I just won $150,000 on the lottery and I saw the list and your name's on it too. That's what it said. Richly is hastily gotten. The truth, the base of the truth says, mine came and went in about a split second of time. You understand what I'm telling you? The base of the truth. To receive anything from God, and that's why most people have a hard time receiving from the Lord. That's why most time we have a hard time receiving healings, deliverances, help, strength, all types of things like that. Because the process of receiving from the Lord is this. Peter, I'm walking on this water. Come to me. Lord, my feelings tell me if I step out of this boat, I will drown. Everything in my mind tells me if I step out of this boat, Lord, I will sink. I've dropped a rock in water before, Lord. I'm heavier than a rock. I know what will happen. If you would believe me, Peter, you will see me move. You will see the miraculous of God. For Peter to step out of that boat, he had to do the two things that I've been talking to you about today. Number one, he had to defy his feelings. Where the Lord's called you to believe and put your trust in Him, it's not going to be the normal safe places that you have found in the past, because that's helped you on the level that you're on. God's going to call you to press back those feelings of fear and to trust Him. Then on the very other side, He's going to ask you. Your thinking may not be able to get here, Peter. What you call reason up to this point, Peter, is not going to work here. What you've called logical up to this point is not going to work here, Peter. You have to trust me. You mean, Lord, I can trust you stronger than what I feel? Lord, how can I believe you're with me if I don't feel you? How can I believe that my life is going to get happy if I don't feel it? How can I? Peter, you're going to learn to trust me. And in trusting me, Peter, in a higher level, it's going to defy everything that you feel. And it's going to defy everything that you think. Because, Peter, I'm going to make this experience change everything you feel and everything you think. Okay, Lord. Peter, picking up that foot. Everything we receive from God comes that way. If I'm not willing to defy my feelings, if I'm not willing to no longer let them sit on the throne of my life, if I'm no longer allowed them to be my basis of truth, everything that I form logic in my life, if I do that, I'll be destroyed. I can't trust God there. I better not set myself up for a failure. I better not get my hopes up. If I allow that, that will keep me controlled and held to where I was. But God says, Peter, just step out of the boat, son. Step out of the boat. Trust me. Grace is received this way. Somebody says, do you feel any different when you step out of the boat? I don't know, because feelings don't have nothing to do with it. Somebody says, do you think any different when you step out of the boat? I don't know, because thinking has nothing to do with it. Trusting God and His promises have everything to do with it. Amen. So everything we receive from God. Now that's the way addictions are broken. My mind tells me I've got to have that drug. My mind tells me if she leaves me, I won't be able to make it. My mind tells me somebody that's got that report is going to die. My son, Peter, step out of the boat. Step out of the boat. I'm going to bring you a place to fly. I'm going to lift you up to a higher level. You up to a higher way of living.
for the glory of God. Amen. Isn't that good?
Yeah, that's what it takes. So Lord, right now, I just say thank you for the goodness and for the grace of God. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, that I realize that I can't trust my feelings. I can't love people according to my feelings. I can't even love people according to my thinking. I got to get my thinking renewed. I got to get my feelings reborn. Lord, I've just been influenced so much, Lord, by the enemy. And I've just been influenced so much by the world. And Lord, I just kind of set myself up to make judgment call. But Lord, I'm tired of those. I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready, Lord, to trust in you. Now I want to really ask you, if you see one of those three areas that's really holding you back, I want us to make a clean break. I just want us to make a clean break. If you see that the enemy has influenced your thinking to the processes that is hindering the promises of God, if you see the world's influence you, or if you see that you've set yourself up, I want to make a clean break. Now my mind tells me you can't make a clean break, but the Holy Spirit tells me I can make a clean break. Amen. I want you to stand with me this morning if you know one of those arenas that need to be conquered for the glory of God. Do you know of one of those arenas? And don't do it general, because we don't get anything general like that. It's only when the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, only when the Holy Spirit is working in you, do you get anything. The Holy Spirit leads us to confrontation. He leads us to those points, sir. So I want you to say this with me out loud. I want you to say, Jesus, I love you and I trust you. I accept your word as the basis of truth in my life. And I determine, because the Bible says I can let it. I can let you control me, or I can let past feelings control me. I choose to let you control me. So in the name of Jesus, I boldly declare, feelings, you will no longer control my life. I also speak to my thoughts. And I say, thoughts, you will no longer control my life. In fact, I'm serving you a sentence that you're going to change. I'm tired of those devilish, demonic, fearful, scared. And in the name of Jesus, I break my allegiance with them. And I determine that God is going to be my basis of truth. And God is going to be my basis of feeling. In the name of Jesus, precious Holy Spirit, bring forth your fruit in my life. And bring forth your fruit in my life. In Jesus' name. Now, come on, stay with me just a moment. Precious Holy Spirit, identify when those thoughts are trying to control me. Help me identify it. When those feelings are trying to ruin my life, help me to identify them. And I will make them surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. I will step out of this boat. I will step out of this safe feeling place. And I will step into the horizon of the promises of God and trust in your name. In Jesus' name.